So I have some questions for our first Holy Communion candidates. So my question is, what do you put on a cake? When you have a birthday cake, what do they put on a birthday cake? You said icing? What do you say? So what do you put on a birthday cake? What's placed on top of the birthday cake? Okay, do you want to answer this, Soraya? Candles? Candles, right? Yes. So we see there's candles on this altar, right? In a birthday cake, you always have candles. How many candles? About how old you are, right? And before you blow out the candles, what do? Before you blow out the candles, you make a wish, right? So you make a wish before you blow out the candles. So we know that when you have the birthday cake, you have the candles, it's a big deal. Everyone gets dressed up and you get presents. So right now you're all dressed up. You're dressed up and we see candles on the altar. So who is the gift that you're going to receive today? Even though today is not your birthday, what is the gift that God wants to give you? I'm sure you know what is the gift you're going to receive. Anyone want to share? What's the gift you're going to receive? I can't hear you. Who are you going to receive? Anyone want to answer? Who are we receiving? Yes, you're receiving Jesus, right? So Jesus is who you are receiving. You're dressed up in your blessed clothing because you want to look nice. You want to look very good for Jesus because we're celebrating the gift of Jesus. And every one of us here, we all dress up. Every Sunday we dress up nice. We want to look our best because we are blessed, right? Amen? He's the reason why you're dressed up. He's the reason why we have candles on this altar. And why we have this large candle, it's called a Paschal candle. And this candle is lit during the Easter season. And so that candle represents Christ, represents Jesus. And when you were a little baby and you were being baptized, this candle was there. It's called the Paschal candle. And when you were baptized, your godparents took a candle and they went over to the Paschal candle and they lit that candle and they received the light of Christ. And so your godparents or your parents, they were entrusted with the responsibility to answer the wish that God has for you. God has a wish. He wants you to receive Him in the Most Holy Eucharist. So the reason how we always are able to understand that we are receiving Jesus, the things that the church, our mother, and her wisdom, she gives us signs that are visible because we're human and we like to see things that are tangible. So this is the host. This host is the host that's on what is called a paten, a gold-plated paten. So the host that I will consecrate is right here placed on this called the paten. And the reason why it's gold-plated is because of our expression of our faith that we believe this is going to become truly Jesus. Right now, this is a piece of bread. But after I say the prayers of consecration, this is my body. When I say this is my body, I don't say this is Jesus' body. I say this is my body because as a priest, I represent Jesus. And so when I say the prayers, I'm saying it through Jesus who lives inside of me. And when you receive, when I say the body of Christ, what is going to be your response? Everyone together. Amen, right? So you're going to bow first, and then you're going to, I say the body of Christ, and you're going to say amen. And when you say that amen is saying that I believe. You're saying to Jesus at that moment, you're looking at Jesus through eyes of faith. So we don't see him in the consecrated host. But when you say amen, you as sons and daughters of God, your parents can't say amen for you. You have to say it for yourself, because now you know and understand who you are receiving. Mrs. Banks, Ms. Streeter, they have taught you about how to receive Jesus, why this is important, and how to keep Jesus with you throughout the day. So right after you receive Holy Communion, then that's the time, that's the moment when you just talk to Jesus. And you say to him whatever is on your mind, or whatever is in your heart. And so one of the ways that we also know that we believe that Jesus is present, this is a cloth that has a cross on it and is folded. And this cloth is called a purificator. And you think to yourself, well, why is it called purificator? Well, after I receive Holy Communion, after I receive the precious blood, you'll notice that the altar server will come over. And what I do is, when the altar server comes over to me, I fold my fingers like this. And I ask the altar server to pour the water through my fingers. And this is done because to show that any tiny piece of the consecrated host, I want all of the consecrated host, the piece to fall into the chalice, the gold-plated chalice, with water. And I use the purificator then to consume, to make sure no precious blood or any pieces of the consecrated host is gone. So I consume, it's mixed with water. And then I use this purificator. And this is the only thing that I use. Every priest and deacon only uses this purificator to clean inside of the chalice. And this purificator doesn't go into the washing machine immediately. First, it gets soaked with water. And after it's soaked with water to make sure that it's diluted, and then it goes into the washer because of the reverence we show for the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. So this is the only cloth, the purificator, that is used to clean the chalice and also what we call the ciborium. So this is a gold-plated cup called a ciborium. And all the hosts are placed inside this ciborium. So right now it's bread. But after the consecration, it's the body of Christ. And so you'll notice that after the end of Holy Communion, we put the ciborium inside what we call the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is where we place the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus, in the whole Eucharist, we call him also the Blessed Sacrament. And so you'll notice when Deacon places the Blessed Sacrament inside the tabernacle, I'm looking at the tabernacle every time we look to Jesus. And then he's going to bend on one knee, which is called genuflect, as a sign that we show reverence towards Jesus in the whole Eucharist. So he genuflects before we close the tabernacle door. And so this is what we do to express our faith in Jesus' real presence. So the first cloth, this cloth, is placed by the deacon on the altar. It's shaped in a square and also has a cross. You see a red cross. And it's folded inward. This is called a corporal. So this is the first cloth that's placed on the altar. And at the conclusion of Mass, it's folded inward. And the reason that is because if any particle, after I break the consecrated host, sometimes tiny pieces fly in different directions, but we hope to catch it on the corporal. And after this is folded and placed on top of the chalice, at the end of Mass, the deacon and I, we go to a sink called a sacrarium inside what we call the sacristy. And we make sure to clean off any tiny particles of the consecrated host inside that sink called the sacrarium. And this aquarium has, it goes, a pipe that goes straight into the ground. So all the pieces of the consecrated host that we can't see is going to the aquarium, which goes into the ground. So anything that's blessed, if you have a rosary, if you have a medal, if you have, you know, ashes, blessed palms, we never throw it into the trash. Because anything that's blessed has to go into the ground. It has to be burned or go into the ground. That's our part of our Catholic faith and expression. So anything that is blessed has to go in the ground. Anything that is blessed cannot be sold. So that's why, you know, when you go to a gift shop, a Catholic gift shop, they have all these rosaries or sacramentals. And if a priest blesses it, then it can't be sold. If you have holy water, they can't be sold. Nothing that's blessed can be sold. It's considered a sin. So this is another item I have. This is called a lunar. This is where, after a host is consecrated, after you have the whole Eucharist, the deacon or I place the consecrated host in this lunar. After you place it inside the lunar, you place it in what is called the monstrance. So this is called a monstrance. And as you see, it's gold plated. And we have a cloth that we use. The deacon or I have a cloth called a humeral veil. And we use that cloth to hold on to the monstrance. And then when we hold on to the monstrance, when the Blessed Sacrament is inside, we make the sign of the cross. And as we make the sign of the cross, you receive a blessing called benediction. And so all of these different vessels that we have here, the reason why I name them, explain about them, is to show in so many different ways the same truth, that we believe that Jesus is present in the whole Eucharist, and we celebrate that presence by using things that are worthy of him. So we heard in the gospel, our Lord talked about his word, that we have to keep his word in order to keep his commandment, in order to express our love towards him. And once we do that, what do we receive? The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspires us to pray. Every time you think about praying, that's a sign of the Holy Spirit. When you think about others, praying for others, and not only for your own needs, that's the Holy Spirit. Whenever we feel the inspiration or courage to sing, to give praise to the Lord, that's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And didn't we have a great, beautiful concert, everyone? Wasn't it a great concert that you went to the Bethesda? Yeah, it was. Yep. Tanya and our choir, and so many people all around the Archdiocese came together, right, to show that we have that unity in God, rooted in God, hope. Hope in who? In the Lord, in his word. And so many different languages were spoken, but had the same intention, the same message. Isn't that what happened at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit, everyone talked in different tongues, in different languages. So it was like a Pentecost, right? A Pentecost in our modern times, a Pentecost experience, where the Holy Spirit has a platform to communicate the truth. And what is the truth? Jesus. Yes. Jesus is the truth.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
We celebrate him. He is our hope. He is our sign. He is our inspiration. Without him, we have nothing. But the Holy Spirit makes Jesus present. So when you see me put my hands in this gesture during Mass, It's called the epiclesis. All that means is that is the moment that the Holy Spirit descends upon the host. And when I make that gesture, the Holy Spirit descending upon the host, because it's only through the Holy Spirit that the consecration happens. You know, through the Holy Spirit is how I received the gift of ordination. The Archbishop prayed over me that the Holy Spirit may come upon me and consecrate me. Then I was able to become ordained a priest. Then was Deacon Melvin able to become ordained a deacon. So only through the Holy Spirit we experience consecration. We experience this communion with Jesus. So we can't have peace without the feast. What is the feast? The feast is when we turn our eyes of faith towards Jesus. Through the sacred word, through the whole Eucharist, and through our celebration of our faith as we express that faith through prayer and song. That's when we feast, not on the world, because the world doesn't give us peace, right? Our neighbor doesn't always give us peace, maybe so, maybe not. But we know that we always can have peace when we feast on Jesus. When Jesus becomes our bread, when his blood becomes our drink, then we're able to experience peace through the Holy Spirit. So I invite and encourage everyone, to allow yourself to experience the feast. You know, we have St. Catherine of Siena. We're going to go there on June 4th. June 4th, we have the Vigil Mass. I have about 7 people that signed up to go on the bus. 7 people. I think we should have a lot more than 7 people sign up for the bus. We have Tanya and our choir. 20 of our choir members are going, and we need to know a number in order for them to prepare the meal for us. So it's very practical. Like, if we know the number, then I can communicate that to St. Catherine of Siena so that they're able to prepare for the feast. They're going to give us dinner right after Mass. So I encourage you, I invite you, so please consider signing up. Please consider showing up to share in the feast. Our sister parish donates to us every month to help us stay open. They donate out of generosity of their heart, their love for Jesus. Because of their contribution, their faithfulness, we are, you know, experiencing that blessing as a church family. Amen. So that's the truth. That's the honest truth that we have to consider and think and ponder how we can respond to that, you know, respond with a sense of gratitude to sign up and show up to share in that feast, to share and celebrate our faith with our brothers and sisters of Christ who are in Wayne. You know, they come here to celebrate with us. It's only right that we go there and present ourselves there and share our love for our Lord. And share our faith in our Lord. Because I know we have strong faith. We have a strong love for our Lord and our church family. And we should shine that faith, not here only in North Philadelphia, but also in Wayne. We need to take that with us and bring that with us to our church family, our sister parish, St. Catherine of Siena. So I invite you, encourage you to please consider doing that. And also making a novena to the Holy Spirit. My favorite novena is to the Holy Spirit. It's the first novena, 9 days. Jesus didn't tell the apostles, you know, you need to go and start preaching, start knocking on doors, you need to go on the corners. After his ascension, he didn't say that. What he said was go to Jerusalem and pray. Stay in one place and pray for 9 days. That was his word. That was how they experienced peace. They were afraid that they were going to go and be captured by the Romans. They had no peace. They had fear and anxiety. And our Lord said, go to Jerusalem. Go to the church. Pray for 9 days together as a church family. On the 9th day is when Pentecost happened, the birthday of the church. So on next Friday, Ascension Thursday is on Thursday, May the 26th. So we're going to have Mass at 7 a.m. I'm going to have a prayer service also for the school at 9 and 10. And then Mass at noon. So 12 p.m. I'll have Mass here, and at 7 p.m. in the evening, we'll have Mass. So Ascension Thursday is a holy day of obligation. So that means it's like a Sunday. Everything is very solemn. It's very important as a church family that we show up on Ascension Thursday. And if you can't come here, go to any church. Because as long as you go into church, you're being able to celebrate Ascension Thursday. So I just want everyone to celebrate in the feast of our faith on Ascension Thursday. And then on Friday begins the novena. So at 9 p.m., if you log into my Zoom ID through online or through the phone number, I'm going to be praying the novena to the Holy Spirit. And I invite and encourage everyone at 9 p.m. Friday every night at 9 p.m. to pray with me. And if you think you're not able to do that, then I ask you to say two prayers. Come, three words, come Holy Spirit every day. Just say, come Holy Spirit. Just say that prayer every day for 9 days as a way to prepare for Pentecost, a way to prepare for that great feast in which we celebrate the birthday of our church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.